Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dynasty Kings Fantasy Football Podcast, off-season edition, Super Bowl week edition. I'm your host, Andrew Skaggs, joined as always by Ben Goldstein.
Hello.
What's up, Ben?
How's it going today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. Always a little hesitant to speak a full sentence before knowing, you know, that my equipment is working here. So just, you know.
That's the beauty of it, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one day at a time, one moment at a time. That's how God has blessed us with this life.
That's right. One body, one soul, one heartbeat.
Yep.
Ben, today is Wednesday, February 8th. It is 5:22 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7:22 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:22 p.m. Pacific Time. Damn, just missed 4:20 on the West Coast. Tough. Ben, you are in the, or at least somewhat near the city where all the action is taking place this week, correct?
Yes, I am.
Anything different? Seeing more people? Buzz?
I really haven't. I mean, I guess maybe a little bit, but it hasn't been insane. But I think it's going to get a little bit crazier here soon. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you're obviously, you've described that you're in the suburbs, so I'm sure you're not in the heart of Scottsdale where all kinds of shit's going on. But yeah, it really is interesting. Obviously, the Super Bowl is a massive event.
I was thinking about asking Snides if he wanted to go Old Town maybe like Friday night, but I also don't want to deal with like mayhem. But I know it's just going to be chaotic down there Friday night, so like.
Right. I feel like Friday is like not the day to go. Like, if you could do something this week, I mean, we're already at Wednesday, but you know what I mean? Like, even
I bet it's probably still going to be chaotic any night we go down there, Old Town. So it's weird because, you know, the Super Bowl is actually in Glendale, which is like 20, 30 minutes away from like Old Town Scottsdale. Right. And then I'm sure that a lot of people are staying like in greater Phoenix area. Scottsdale is a pretty big city. So like Old Town's like can be like 20 minutes away from places in Scottsdale. So, and I'm sure people are staying in Glendale. So it's interesting with Arizona.
It is. Yeah, I've actually been to probably three or four games at the Arizona Cardinals Stadium. And it is. It's a little bit out there. Phoenix as a whole, right? Like when you build a city on top of it.
Everything's very spread apart. But
it's just how
they have great freeway systems, like freeway roads and everything like that. So you can't really complain too much because you can get everywhere relatively quickly with no traffic.
Yeah,
which is always
absolutely nice. Absolutely. You know what, Ben? We're going to do a quick pivot. Since we're talking Super Bowl, let's do Super Bowl as the first segment. Here's what we're going to do, Ben. We're going to talk NFL first, Dynasty second. So a quick little breakdown. We'll talk Super Bowl. That'll be a pretty quick segment. Just some bets we like, some matchups, some betting. I already said betting. Some predictions. We'll talk a little draft season. A little Senior Bowl, a little bit of good landing spots for position players, guys that might actually end up on our Dynasty teams. And then we'll get a little bit more into GM of the Year voting has closed, Rookie of the Year voting has closed, and the trade recap as far as the trades that have taken place in 2023. We'll just kind of go through them all, overview, maybe, you know, name some winners, whatever. We don't need to completely slam people on this podcast. Ben. First Super Bowl topic, most notable position matchup in the game. I really had a feeling that he wasn't there anymore. It's too bad. Just got silent, you know.
What's up, Ben?
Hey, how are we doing?
Doing pretty well. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you great. Can you hear me good?
Yeah. Hear me well?
Good.
It's even better. Well, it wouldn't be a Dynasty Kings podcast without a little technical difficulties, but here we are.
We had a pretty good thing. We had a pretty good thing going there too. I feel like
we did. And what was funny is there, like before, there was a little bit of like I don't know, like white noise behind you, basically.
Yeah.
Like when you were on the recording, which is normal, and then I could hear it got like pretty silent, and like you know, no like coughs or any like interjections or anything. I'm like, fuck, he's probably not there anymore because I've been going for a good 30 seconds.
I stayed on for about 2 minutes, and then finally I was like, I probably should leave the recording, and so I did. But I stayed on for 2 minutes just in case. But yeah, it was time.
All good. We're going to jump into the Super Bowl. Yep. Most notable position matchup in the game. Ben, I'll hand it to you first.
Yeah, so I am going to go with actually kind of the opposite of probably what most people are looking at, and that's the Eagles' defensive line for versus the Chiefs' offensive line. The Eagles' defensive line, you know, everyone talks about the Eagles' offensive line, but the Eagles' defensive line has been, I mean, historically good this season. Just like third in the sacks ever. And they have like seven guys with like five plus sacks. They have like five guys with 10 plus sacks. So they can definitely rush the passer. Now, the Chiefs' O-line isn't as flashy as I would say as many other offensive lines, but they get the job considerably well done, actually. And Mahomes definitely helps with that. Now, I'm going to be interested to see what this defensive line can do against an offensive line like this and what Mahomes looks like, you know, with his ankle and how he looks behind that offensive line. But yep. If the Chiefs offensive line can hold this defensive line to under 5-4 sacks, I think that's a win.
Whoa. Let's go, dogs. Let's fucking go. Let's go, girls. Fire me up, Ben. Really hoping you just muted it and you're going to come back and it's not like just like what happened. Anyway, I'll echo that I agree. Pretty big matchup. I think the Chiefs' O-line is good, not great. Obviously, a couple years back in the Super Bowl, they really got exposed by Brady and the Bucks, but they've made improvements, Creed Humphrey being one of them. I think they signed like Joe Tooney or something from the Patriots. It's a big-time matchup. What's funny here is Ben wrote, and he's probably long gone, but Ben wrote, the Eagles' D-line broke. He was going to say broke records, but he never finished the sentence, and it made me laugh. Since we haven't heard a whole lot, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll see you on the other side for my key matchup at the Super Bowl. Ben?
Wow. Wow, what a disaster. This is
what a moment for Gigi.
That was also my other dog too, Daisy. They were both just saw the rabbit and it was on.
Fuck a rabbit.
Yeah, they would like to eat one. They would like to eat one for sure. But yeah, this is getting fun.
Very fun. For those that aren't aware of the text, it sounds like the dogs unplugged the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So that was reason number two for, again, I could tell because there was no little white noise in the background. I'm like, fuck, it's probably happening again.
Oh boy. Great time.
You pretty much finished up your chat about the Eagles defensive line versus Chiefs offensive line. I jokingly told our listeners that the sentence says the Eagles D line broke. And I laughed at that. I know you meant to say more. They broke the record. My matchup, Ben, is going to be – actually, I was curious to – matchup that maybe not everyone's talking about. Which one do you have in your mind that everyone's talking about? The Eagles offensive line?
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Chiefs wide receiver versus Eagles secondary. Reason being, everyone knows Travis Kelce's target number one for Patrick Mahomes. There's a really strong number of options at receiver for the Chiefs. None of them are outstanding players, but all of them kind of do a little bit of different stuff. Anyway, I just think one of the keys for them would be their ability to get open versus the Eagles secondary, an Eagles secondary that's pretty strong. And, you know, you got to imagine whether it's a Juju, whether it's a Marquez Valdez-Scantling, whether it's a Kadarius Toney, a random appearance from a Justin Watson or a Sky Moore, right? Who knows who the player is going to be? Hardman's out for the game, if I'm not mistaken. You know, one of those guys is going to have to step up and have 5-6 catches. Maybe it's an MVS deep ball. Anyway, not sure how it's all going to play out. I just feel like that's going to be pretty important for someone else other than Travis Kelce to step up, especially if the Eagles happen to, you know, solve the whole equation of, like, why is he open all the time? Maybe they bracket him, double team him the whole time, force someone else to beat him. So anyway, that would be my notable position matchup in the game. Ben, let's talk a little bit of betting. We're going to do our favorite bets. We're going to pick three each. I actually wrote down four just because I'm, you know, greedy. But go ahead. Hit the listeners with your three favorite bets. These are prop bets. We're not necessarily talking, we'll do winner, spread, over, under, all that stuff in just a sec. But
yep. You're not gritty. You're just an overachiever. Guys.
Yeah. Well, I'll explain why.
Yeah. My first one is kind of my wild card, and that would be Clyde Edwards-Helaire anytime touchdown at plus 1,000. He is back for the Super Bowl game. Jerick McKinnon has played well, but it's not like he's, you know, wowed anyone with his actual, like, running game, I would say. Mm-hmm. So I could see if the Chiefs are inside, like, the five, they hand the ball off to Edwards-Helaire, you know, 5 to 10 times this game, or, you know, use them on the backfield 5 to 10 times and they score a touchdown. So I might throw a couple bucks on that.
You said that's plus 1,000.
It is plus 1,000.
And just to be clear, Ben is using FanDuel odds. I'm using DraftKings.
Yeah, they should be relatively similar. I'm also going with Frank Clark to record a sack at plus 124.
Like it.
If I'm not mistaken, he is third all-time for playoff sacks. And he's tied with second, I think. So he's a prolific sack guy in the playoffs. And I think that him and Chris Jones are going to cause more havoc in this game than people expect. And I think he gets a sack there.
It's crazy that Chris Jones just recorded his first playoff sack ever.
Yeah. And the thing was, is that I like Frank Clark's value a little bit more here than Chris Jones. Chris Jones was negative.
Interesting.
Clark had plus, so I took Clark. And then I feel like this is a pretty safe one here. You know, the over set at 50.5, and I don't think it's quite going to get to the over, but I do think it's going to, you know, get into the 40s. And I think that's going to consist of Jalen Hurts throwing over 1.5 passing touchdowns, which is currently at negative 110, so pretty much, you know, even money. I just think, yeah, he hasn't been exactly the quarterback that he has been during the regular season. He's been hurt probably. But 2 weeks rest, I think that, you know, adrenaline's going to get him the Super Bowl. So I like over 1.5 passing touchdowns for Jalen Hurts.
Absolutely. I think that's a good bet there, Ben. My first one is very much in line with that last bet there. I have A.J. Brown to score 2+ touchdowns. That's plus 750. If someone else is, you know, if our listeners are feeling a little bit less bold on that front, certainly could go anytime touchdown score, first touchdown score. I just figured I feel pretty strongly about him to score. He's been not in a slump by any means. They've been blowing people out. He just hasn't statistically been a huge factor in the playoffs so far. So I just think he's due to score. Just the odds for anytime touchdown score for him, I don't remember what they were, but, you know, naturally they're not great. It's not like you're getting good odds on that. So I figured, fuck it. If I think he's going to score one touchdown, might as well go for two. Yep. Plus 750 there. One of my favorite, as not even one of my favorites, my actual favorite part about DraftKings, Ben, and just to be clear, I still support FanDuel. It's just they locked me out for a little while because of the, like, a password reset issue. So I'm like, all right, well, I got to take my, you know, business over here. And then because I've been winning bets over there, it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep betting there because I don't have any money in my FanDuel account. So one thing that they do have that FanDuel doesn't seem to have is the jersey number of the first TD score, and it's an over-under number. We discovered this a couple weeks back when Zach got engaged, and I just love it. Every playoff game, I've been putting a bet on it just because it's fun, right? You're analyzing case. So for this one, it's 11.5, and I have the under for what it's worth. That's obviously an extremely low jersey number. But if you think about it, A.J. Brown is 11. Devontae Smith is 6. Jalen Hurts has a rushing touchdown is 1. On the other side of the coin, you've got Jerick McKinnon wears 1. You've got Isaiah Pacheco wearing 10. Juju Smith-Schuster wearing 9. So those are all the players kind of that I'm putting in my mix of thinking that it's going to be under that number. Obviously, the massive number on the other side is Travis Kelce at 87. I've been so lucky with him scoring first, I feel like, almost in both playoff games. For sure, anytime touchdown score, I'm going to say, hey, Kelsey's not going to score the first touchdown. I still think he scores a touchdown, but I don't think he scores the first. Other people you got to worry about there, Miles Sanders, really any of the Philly running backs are involved there. A Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, some of the Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, some of those receivers. MVS is 11 exactly, correct?
I think so, yes.
So that would be another one that's under this umbrella. By no means do I expect MVS to be the first touchdown scorer. That would actually be a tragedy. But anyway, we're going under 11.5. It's minus 130, so it is the favorite amongst those two. Over 11.5 is the underdog. Just a fun prop either way. And then my last two, Ben, the reason I had to put two on here and get greedy is I was going to do something Boston Scott related. I saw 8.5 as his rushing yards line. Really like that. Just for someone that's going to, I assume, get like 3 to 4 carries at least.
I was close to putting some Boston Scott prop on my some.
Yeah, because he's just a veteran presence that's not going to be, you know, afraid of the moment. I'm sure he was on that Philly team when Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. I feel like he's been there forever. Yeah. So anyway, I was going to do over 8.5 rushing yards, which I still think is a good bet. But I figured let's get bold. Let's go anytime touchdown score. On DraftKings, it's plus 5,000. And I think their odds are significantly different than FanDuel's. And then on top of that, while I was there, I saw that also at plus 5,000 is Patrick Mahomes' anytime TD score. Obviously, that means he has to run it in. I know he's got a bum ankle, but, you know, and I'm not necessarily expecting him to QB sneak it in because I think that would be a little sketchy on the ankle. But I mean, he's still been moving around a bit. I could see him getting loose, making a dive for the pylon in a big moment. You know how he does. Yeah. So anyway, I don't see a scenario, Ben, where Patrick Mahomes and Boston Scott both don't score. Like, they both have to score. It's just like it's – betting is so easy. It's just like I don't see a scenario where that doesn't happen.
I get that for sure.
Yeah. So those are all locks, obviously. Ben, let's get into some Super Bowl predictions. We've got some categories. We've got the winner of the game, the MVP, the spread pick, the over-under pick, and everyone's favorite, the color of the Gatorade. I'll let you start us off, Ben. Do you want to go alternate shot in terms of category by category, or do you want to just run through yours?
We can do alternate.
Cool.
So I think we agree here, but I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yep.
I know that they're currently a little bit of a dog, but I just feel like, you know, the Chiefs are not getting enough hype here. They're used to this moment. They might have not won every one of these moments, but they're used to it. I think this is one of, like, Travis Kelce's last runs, to be honest with you. I don't know how much longer he's got in there. Probably, you know, it's a couple more years. You know, I'd say at least, you know, 3 years. And, you know, it's always hard to get back to this game. So I could see him having a huge game. And so I think the Chiefs defense might be better than what people think. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs here to win the game.
Love it. I'm also going with the Chiefs. This is a very interesting matchup. Obviously, the 2-1 seeds. It ended up being chalky despite a lot of unknowns leading into the playoffs. I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know how these teams are going to match up with each other. It's a really interesting game to me. When the Chiefs played the Bengals, as much as I was slightly rooting for the Bengals to win that matchup, there was just a part of me that was like, okay, this is getting kind of weird. Like, all the Burrowhead stuff, all the Cincinnati stuff. It's just, I'm like, everyone's kind of like rooting for and on Cincinnati. I'm like, that's just that many people going against Mahomes and the Chiefs. Just, you know what I mean? It gave me a little bit of a feeling. I don't quite have that feeling, even though I know a lot of the betting money and the public and stuff is on the Eagles and they're the flight favorites. I don't get that sense that it's like everyone's against the Chiefs, but still, I'm just like, that's who I'm going to be rooting for. So that's naturally always who I pick as my winner. I won't be upset at all if Philly wins. But yeah, I just think these are two extremely evenly matched teams. And if it happens to come down to, you know, the waning moments of needing a long touchdown drive in a short amount of time, naturally I would, you know, lean Mahomes, no disrespect to Hurts, but their game has certainly been ground and pound for the most part, while he has improved a lot as a thrower. So it will be interesting if he finds himself in his position where he's got to throw a little bit more than normal and play from behind, which are, you know, two things that have not happened to them very often this year.
Yep. No, that makes sense. For my MVP, I will go with Patrick Mahomes. I did say that Travis Kelce would probably have a big game.
Yeah, that was a sick statement.
Yeah, but I think Mahomes could finish with, like, honestly, 3 or 4 touchdowns and maybe, like, a rushing touchdown as well. Over, you know,
yeah, it's a lot.
I'd say over 280 passing yards, if not 300. I really think that he's going to have a huge game. I think this is kind of the moment that he lives for. You know, I don't like comparing him to, like, Michael Jordan. I think that's kind of weird, but, like, I feel like he's kind of got those elements where he likes to thrive in these kind of games. He lives for them. So give me Patrick Mahomes win MVP of the Super Bowl.
Love it. I've got Travis Kelce. Just wanted to go away from the quarterback, to be honest. Yep. If he in fact has the big game that you have projected. That would be awesome. I just think he's the, I mean, if the Chiefs win, I think he's the only other option, unless some kind of like crazy MVS or Juju game or Pacheco game happens. I just don't, you know what I mean? It's just the MVPs rarely go, not to say that they rarely go to random players, because sometimes they do. It's just one single game. Like if this happened to be like a super low scoring game and like, you know, Kelsey gets one or two touchdowns or it catches the game winner or something like that, but maybe yeah. Mahomes throws a pick or two. I don't know. There's just not a lot of scenarios where it wouldn't be one of these two guys on the Chiefs side. How about the spread pick? We might as well just couple this with what we said, Ben. So, I mean, I know the spread's 1.5, so I just said like Chiefs money line. Like, yeah, I guess if I had to pick the spread, I'd pick the +1.5.
Yeah. No, I get you.
We're on the same page there. We could have just coupled that with our winner.
Put that in there for betting purposes.
Yep. We are on different sides of the coin in terms of the over-under. I've got the over 55.5. You have the under 55.5. I'm just rooting for a lot of points, as always. That's just what I do. I think these defenses are solid. I wouldn't say they're great. I know the Eagles have, you know, set records for sacks, but I still think they're gettable. Yeah, just give me the over. Give me a shootout. Give me 30-30 going into overtime, and then may the best man win. You know,
I'd take that as well. I've got kind of an odd feeling that the Chiefs might, like, win kind of big and might just cover, like, a lot, and then – Eagles might not score a ton, so I'm going to go with under 55.5, but we'll see.
And lastly, Ben, the color of the Gatorade.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yellow. I feel like I've read that yellow is a, like, statistically high, you know, a percentage choice to win that bet, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting. And it's completely predetermined, the color and everything?
I think so, but, you know, the funny thing is I've never heard of, like, an insider knowledge on this, so I really don't know.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, and not that I've been betting legally for that long, but, like,
yeah,
I'll be honest, I can't say that I've ever been, like, interested in the color of the Gatorade. Like, I am interested in some random prop bets, but this one I'm just like, I don't know, that just seems...
No, I don't either. I think it's just a funny one.
Yeah, so I said red just because we both picked the Chiefs. I'm like, wow. Like that is one of the flavors of Gatorade.
One more, though. Coin flip? What do you got?
Tails, always.
Okay, yeah. I'll go with heads. Fuck it. You know, there's a 50-50 shot, I guess, right?
That's right. YOLO. Yeah. And who knows? These Super Bowl coins, like, I know they technically declare a heads and a tails, but I feel like they also have, like, so much other shit on them.
Yeah, they do. They always
that
do.
They're not even, like... I mean, I know they're not real coins, but you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
They might not even say, hey, like, this side is this side, this side is this side. Sometimes they don't even say heads or tails. Ben, let's get into draft season. That's our little Super Bowl segment there. It is draft season, even though it is only Wednesday, February 8th. We did have the East-West Shrine Game recently, the Senior Bowl, maybe the NFLPA Bowl, something like that. We'll do some quick takeaways. I'll be honest, I just listened to one podcast, read a quick article that just had some stuff about it. Ben, talk to me about Osiris Torrance, offensive lineman from Florida.
Yeah, he's a tackle.
Stock rising.
Yeah.
I believe he's a guard.
Is he?
Yeah. So he was originally at Louisiana Lafayette, and then that Napier guy who took the Florida job, he transferred with him and then had a great year with Florida apparently this season.
He's a tall guard. He's 6'5", 346.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a massive human.
Yeah, it's massive.
It just sounds like he's been doing well. That's all my sources are telling me.
No, he's definitely stock is rising from what I've heard. I haven't watched him a ton, but I feel like when I've seen him play, when I watched Florida, he is very violent. He's just very physical.
I love violence.
He's just finishing, you know, after the whistle, to be honest with you, most of the time. He'll find a place in the NFL, and he'll be all right. That's for sure. He's definitely going to make a career in the NFL. At this point, there's really, honestly, like, kind of a dearth of good offensive linemen in the NFL. So when a team can get their hands on one, it's always a good call. So I think he's gonna be solid. So yeah, won't hurt at all.
Okay. That was my takeaway number one. Second thing I heard is the quarterback sucked. The one that people like the most, Jake Haener, the next great Fresno State prospect. I'm pretty excited about that, especially with all the Derek Carr news swirling around. I know you're a big Fresno guy.
Yeah, I love
Fresno. You know, here's all I would say. here's all I would say. We're coming off another season where the Niners probably would have won the Super Bowl had they had Derek Carr. And like at this point, like he would have like five rings. Like he would literally be close to Brady, but instead they just continue to roll out those random quarterbacks that they have. Man, imagine if they had Derek Carr. Scott's dream.
Have you heard of Tyson Bagent or Bagent?
I have not, but that's a great name.
He's a quarterback at the Senior Bowl this week. He didn't play great, but he did all right. And he's from like Shepherd University, which I think is like a D.
Yeah.
Do you know his story?
No, I do not.
His dad is like a professional arm wrestler. He's like the goat of arm wrestling, his dad. And so this guy, he's fucking tatted. He's a white guy, just tatted as fuck. And he plays quarterback, and I think he's probably going to be drafted, like maybe very late, maybe like an undrafted guy, but you'll see him in the preseason next year. He'll be fun.
Interesting, because there's another guy, actually, that I listened to Move the Sticks, and they were talking Senior Bowl, and there's another guy from Shepherd who's also was like there in a prospect, but he wasn't a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I think there's an offensive lineman from Shepherd, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but like this was like a kind of an odd situation where like he could have transferred somewhere. It wasn't like a, you know, just a complete small school kid. Like it was like his easiest path to playing right away. I forget the whole story, but I had never heard of the school, to be honest, beforehand. Lastly, Tyjae Spears stole the show, I've heard. I know you're a big fan of his. Tulane, Green Wave.
Yeah, I mean, probably most people saw him in the
USC game.
Yeah, was that the Rose Bowl?
The Cotton, I think.
The Cotton. Most people saw him in the Cotton Bowl where he was just destroying USC left and right. So
that great USC defense.
That's true. That's true. That's very true. But he did have a good season in general against better defenses. So,
yeah. It'll be an interesting one to see where he lands
It'll be fun. Equation. Yep, exactly. And then it'll be fun to see where he lands in our draft.
That's right. All right, your two, Ben?
Yeah, I had two little nuggets here.
I don't know who Michael Wilson is, to be honest.
Yeah, he's a Stanford wide receiver.
Okay, I'm out.
I know not a lot of them have panned out.
No, I'm out.
Yeah.
No, done.
He had a huge week at the Senior Bowl, though.
Huge week.
So, probably the guy had, his stock rose the most there. If I'm not mistaken, let me just kind of look this up really quickly. He's got decent size.
Sounds like the next JJ Arcega-Whiteside to me.
Yeah, that could be true. I guess. Yeah, that would not be great. But he is 6'2", 209 pounds. He's from Simi Valley.
Soft.
Oh, God. Okay. Whoops. Should have mentioned that, huh? He went to Chaminade. I think he's got potential, so it'll be fun to see what happens.
Yeah, he'd be great on Williams' team.
Just some news there. But also this is the biggest news. This tight end class is absolutely fucking stacked.
Here we go.
Just fucking stacked. There could be four first round tight ends taken in this draft. You've got Michael Mayer, Darnell Washington, Dalton Kincaid, who all of a sudden is just skyrocketing up draft boards. And then Luke Musgrave. Yep. I can't remember his name exactly, but he's just having a great Senior Bowl season and a great draft season in general, and he's put up a bunch of tape at Oregon State, so it's going to be interesting to see if he slides in the first round. So, yeah, it's great for the NFL, it's great for the DKL, it's DKFL, and it's great for everyone in general.
That's right, baby. All right, Ben, let's get right into it. We're going to do the best draft fits for the top 50 skill position guys. So just for a little bit of context here, I went in, looked at a two-round mock draft on ESPN, looked at the positional ranking, just tried to throw some guys in there that are, maybe fringe round one guys. Some of these guys will go in round two for sure. But just threw, a collection of guys that might be what we're looking at in terms of the cream of the crop, in terms of the rookie draft. We're going to start with the quarterback position, Ben. And we have their best fit, and it's more of like obviously slightly realistic, right? With some of these guys who we know are going to get drafted super high. You know, we're trying to pick someone that either can reasonably trade up or that's already in a position to do so. We both have an option. Then I put in a dark horse column where I just threw in some other names as well. We can do what we want with that. But you go ahead and start us off, Ben, with Bryce Young.
This might be a little bit of a wild card, but it might not be completely realistic. But I do think they have a slight possibility of trading up there and grabbing him. And that would be the Atlanta Falcons trading up to take Bryce Young here. I think the Falcons have a lot of offensive weapons to surround any quarterback with currently. And they have a decent enough offensive line to, you know, let him somewhat thrive and survive there his first season and not get him absolutely destroyed. So I think that would be a great fit for Bryce Young for the Falcons to move up there and grab him if possible.
Absolutely. I would be very fired up. It's a hard equation. I mean, we're talking about the eighth pick. Like, yes, obviously going from 8 to 1, like, is a significant jump, but like, that doesn't mean they have to give up a crazy amount. This is, you know, I don't like, that's not quite like the Rams when they traded up from like 15 to 1 or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess, or when the Eagles traded up for Wentz, it's not, I don't think it should be like multiple ones. It could even be like a couple twos and, you know, some other stuff. So anyway, I do think that's still a realistic possibility. I'm going to go with, I guess, I wouldn't even say the safe option, just I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. I don't necessarily think Indianapolis is the greatest fit. Vegas, we don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Maybe it's Rodgers, who knows? Obviously, we talked about Atlanta, Carolina, or some other teams that need him. I'll just go with Houston. I mean, Houston's kind of a dumpster fire of an organization, maybe kind of being too polite. But they did just hire D'Amico Ryans, very, you know, highly thought of defensive coordinator from the Niners. Seems like a high character guy. It's like, of course, the whole Deshaun Watson thing was kind of out of their hands. I know they've made some weird decisions with having, you know, Lovie Smith for only a year, whoever the coach was the previous year. They got GM issues. Don't get me wrong. There are issues everywhere, but I feel like this could really be like a nice reset of like, okay, we're going to hire the D'Amico Ryans. We're going to draft Bryce Young. You know, they've got another pick at number 12. Maybe that's adding a tight end or a receiver to complement things. You know, maybe they make a trade where they deal with Brandon Cooks or bring him back. Either way, that can help them, right? He actually helps them in place. They've got Damian Pierce at running back. I still think they could address the running back position. Obviously, as a Pierce owner, I wouldn't love that, but that's not out of the question. Anyway, I think it's a start fresh. I think it's, you know, Bryce Young, obviously a Southern California kid, played in Alabama, Houston, good football place. Anyway, that's my pitch for that. My dark horse, I'll go with Carolina. I don't personally think, I mean, don't get me wrong, their quarterback situation is desperate, but I don't necessarily think that they should just mortgage a bunch of picks to move up that far to get to one. Not that they're that much farther behind than Atlanta, but they just don't have that many picks, specifically in this year's draft. I don't think they have any like extras next year. Maybe they've given up a couple in the whole Darnold thing. Anyway, Carolina's a dark horse just because they're so desperate at quarterback. If, you know, if they feel strongly enough about Bryce Young, they could get up to one and get him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or somewhere else. You know, we don't know for sure, obviously, that Bryce Young is going to go number one. So if for whatever reason Chicago doesn't trade out of there and then Houston takes the first quarterback and maybe they like Stroud better, then all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, only trading up to the third pick if Arizona wants to move. Who knows? I would be surprised if those two don't go one and two, but we'll see. Ben, speaking of C.J. Stroud, I like yours. I almost had yours.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is completely realistic. He might go top three. But if somehow he does slide here, it's not too far of a slide. It's just about two picks. If he slides to pick 5 to the Seahawks, I think that would be a great fit, even if Geno Smith is still with the Seahawks, honestly. Yep. I think you let him develop a little bit. If Geno does struggle, hey, you got C.J. Stroud right there, who I think could be a very good quarterback in the NFL. I was up and down with him during his career at Ohio State, but I think towards the end there, I started warming up towards him. He was making big throws, hanging in there in the pocket, taking big hits, and making big throws at big times. So I think he's got that quality, that kind of clutch quality, to hang in their pocket and make big throws, kind of like Joe Burrow a little bit, you know? So if it's possible, I would love that. and then this guy with a homer pick, but, you know, I'm going to take it.
No, I mean, the reality is they have the fifth pick. Like, again, I don't envision a scenario where he falls that far, but they're also, like, not very far away from trading up if they truly want to secure. You know, and it really is – it's not a luxury pick because the Seahawks obviously have, you know, plenty of other holes that they can fill. But at the same time, because they got that pick from Denver and they have their own 20th pick overall, you know, it could be like, hey, let's secure our future at quarterback and then, you know, draft some other position at 20, kind of the normal pick that we would have had from our own record. Yeah, it's a very interesting spot. CJ Stroud, interesting quarterback to evaluate, in my opinion, because Ohio State, their offense is so good and their skill position players are so good and their scheme is so good that everyone's always open. Like, I can't remember the last time I watched Ohio State once they kind of transformed into their modern day offense that they have, where, like, it's not just guys running free wide open all over the place and running backs with big holes. Like, just whatever they do offensively, like, dudes are just open. And so naturally, like, the quarterback is like, oh, well, he doesn't make a ton of, like, tough throws. It's like, yeah, because guys are always open. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't love this one, but I'll go Indianapolis as his best fit. They do have some stuff there. Their offensive line has certainly deteriorated much more than, you know, when it was kind of world class a couple years ago. Well, you got Jonathan Taylor there. You've got Michael Pittman. They'll probably bring in another receiver. They did draft Alec Pierce. I know a lot of people like him. He had a solid rookie season. I still think they might have add one more body. Maybe I guess tight end. They drafted some guys as well. But a decent core on offense there. Again, they have the fourth pick, so they're right in that range. I mean, Houston and Indianapolis are the two teams that need quarterbacks in the top four. Arizona and Chicago don't really. So they have the most realistic shot. Again, that could be them moving up to one and grabbing their guy, or Houston takes it at two and then Indianapolis moves up. It'll be remain to be seen, but we'll go Indy as my pick. And then my dark horse as your regular pick, I'll go with Atlanta. If in fact CJ Stroud is the second quarterback off the board, I think the idea of Atlanta trading up to a two or a third pick, second or third pick, is a little bit more realistic than trading up to one. Again, this depends on how they feel about Desmond Ridder. I think this could absolutely be a year kind of to get a slam dunk at quarterback if they can make the move. I'm sure they kind of have just regular picks moving forward. I don't think they have an excessive amount or anything like that. To me, you know, as someone that's followed the Falcons closely, just as a Drake London fan, I do like Kyle Pitts. I just don't know if them putting out Ridder, who we don't believe he's going to be a legit NFL starting quarterback, putting him out there for another year and going through just another shitty offensive season, now you kind of have wasted 3 years worth of Kyle Pitts' career, a couple years of Drake London. Now, again, if that means at the end of the day that they get Caleb Williams that year, that's awesome. But it's so hard to control that. And they won seven games this year. Good, and they still competed in almost every game and won seven games. Like, odds are they're probably not going to be the very worst team next year either. So in my opinion, if they can make the slam dunk, you might as well do it now.
That's a good call because, you know, I have read the NFL is a little bit worried that there could be some serious tanking next season for a guy like Caleb Williams.
Right. And I know a lot of people like Drake May as well. So kind of the allure of just in general being in the mix. But I mean, fuck, like, I feel like that was kind of the thought. I guess these guys might not be regarded quite as high, but like, I feel like the Stroud Young combo has been talked about all season long and they're still right there at the top. Mm-hmm. You know, especially compared to last year's quarterback class, which was not very strong. Anyway, Ben, continuing the quarterback carousel, Will Levis, quarterback out of Kentucky. Where do you like him?
Yeah, not the biggest believer in Will Levis, but somewhere where I do think maybe he could strive is Tennessee. Now, they do have a 13th pick, so they probably would have to move up. But he could also potentially drop. You never know. But I think Tennessee would be a good place for him to develop where he could – they wouldn't always have to rely on him, I would say. They have a guy like Derrick Henry. I'm sure they're going to invest in their running game in the future as well. And they have always a pretty good defense that will, you know, help a quarterback out. So I feel like he could be that would be somewhere he could strive.
Yeah. Absolutely. To be honest, that was one of the names that I thought of as well, because I really don't think that Malik Willis was A, drafted high enough, or B, showed enough in his limited experience, I guess, for them to like feel really good about it. So I do not think that they're out of the question. They have the 11th pick, so that's certainly a spot where, you know, Levis could end up. I know we hear a lot about, you know, potentially top five. We'll see. Quarterbacks always rise, but I think that's a good spot. I'll go with Vegas. Honestly, I don't think there are a lot of good fits. I don't think he should be a top 10 pick, but who knows with quarterbacks. Vegas is so unsettled. This would be if they don't get Aaron Rodgers. I don't necessarily think Josh McDaniels wants to roll out with a rookie quarterback. I think Josh Jacobs is probably gone in free agency. I really don't know what that offense is going to look like at that point, right? Like, if they don't land Rodgers, if they let Jacobs walk, like, isn't then, like, Davante Adams demanding a trade too? Because, like, then he's just in, like, a shit rebuild as well. So it's just kind of a weird situation. But, you know, amongst QB needy teams, I went with the pass on both Seattle and Detroit. Those are two teams that can certainly, you know, draft a guy and let him sit for a little while. But I don't see that happening with the fifth or sixth pick unless a Stroud or Young were to fall or they were to trade up. So we'll go with Vegas as the fit. As my dark horse, I went Washington Commanders, 16th pick. That could be certainly a range that he could fall to, kind of similar to the, you know, the year that Mac Jones fell to 16 after being rumored to be in the, you know, top five. You know, I do like Sam Howell, but I mean, he's played one career game, so I don't think he's got that job on lock. I would be more expecting them to bring in a veteran as opposed to drafting a rookie. But I guess you never know. But I'll say Washington as the dark horse. And then last of the four QBs, Ben, Anthony Richardson out of Florida.
Yeah, so he's a very raw prospect. Very raw prospect. Kind of reminds me of Josh Allen coming out of college. Like, huge arm, huge athleticism, huge guy. And honestly, I would love to see him under the tutelage of Bill Belichick. I don't really think that Bill Belichick could refine a quarterback like that and make him a complete super. I know you hate this, but like, I just really think that he could be a great quarterback under someone like that. Now, I don't know if he will be there at that pick. I really honestly think he's rising so fast. And by the end of all this, with the skills and athleticism that he has, and by skills, I mean just how far he can throw the ball and how fast he can throw it. And how fast he can run and how quick he is, and how athletic he is. He could be a top five pick, but if somehow he's there, I think New England would be a great fit for him.
Yeah, I actually don't hate it. I mean, the reality is, like, I'm always going to hate the Patriots, but I'd still much rather watch Anthony Richardson play quarterback than Mac fucking Jones. True. So I like very that. Cool. I'm going to go with Detroit. You could almost say Detroit should have been my dark horse, but I'll go Detroit here. Because they have the sixth pick and the 18th pick. Now, again, it would surprise me a bit if they use that sixth pick, just because that's another team that, while very improved, still has some holes to fill. But the 18th pick, after they've secured, you know, a blue chip, say, defensive player or something like that at the sixth pick, now you've got some interesting, you know, stuff going on at 18, because we're looking at a situation with Jared Goff. I don't know his contract, but I believe he's for sure under contract next year. Maybe it's a two-year thing. But talk about a perfect, you know, bridge the gap quarterback who's been really solid. If he continues to play well, great. You continue to start him. Maybe eventually you have to pay him again. If he played that well, though, it's going to be worth it. You know, it could end up being in a Jordan Love situation, sure. But also odds are that, like, after a couple of years, they might be ready to move on. All these this young talent that they've been accumulating on the offensive line, at receiver, all that stuff, paired with a, you know, a quarterback that had just sat for 1 or 2 years with, you know, immense upside. You know, we got something cooking there in Detroit. And then my dark horse, Seattle. So I kind of went with those two as the ones who I don't think are going to pick them at 5 and 6. But, you know, say Seattle ends up with a Jalen Carter or a Tyree Wilson with their fifth pick. And then all of a sudden 20 comes around and maybe they only franchise tag Geno Smith, or his contract in general was structured to only be a couple years. You know, there's another guy that sits for a little bit under the tutelage of Pete Carroll. Not that I think Carroll will be coaching that much longer. But, yeah, I think that's a good dark horse spot for him.
No, I like that. I think that that could be a lot of fun. I think Pete Carroll would love to work with someone like that.
Right. Because, I mean, I think the reality is we've talked about this a lot. Like, Richardson to Carolina makes a lot of sense. And sure, you can make, like, the Cam Newton comparisons. But also Carolina just would be such a rough spot because I don't think they have someone that can make him wait to play. I think he would be pushed into action quite quickly. And that's just not ideal. And we both agree that we like Anthony Richardson more than we like Malik Willis coming out of college, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I agree. Yeah. I think there's just more upside. I think the fact that I know Willis played in the SEC previously.
I fell in love with Malik Willis. I mean, not fell in love, but I really liked Malik Willis because, honestly, that quarterback class wasn't great, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, he was probably the most, like, exciting quarterback in that class. And Number three, he went to a place where maybe he could have succeeded if he was somewhat decent, but he's just not really good.
Yep. I feel you. All right, just a couple running backs, Ben, to be honest, on that ESPN mock. They only had two going in the first two rounds. We're going to focus on Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. I know there's a lot of other running backs that people like. Just kind of seems foolish to be, you know, projecting a guy that might be going late second, third round, stuff like that as far as teams go. Bijan Robinson's interesting, though, Ben, because he's widely regarded as a top five prospect in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally speaking, running backs don't go that high every once in a while. A Zeke happens, a Fournette happens. Saquon Barkley, you know, shit happens, so it's not completely out of the question, but where do you see his best fit?
Yeah, I mean, great prospect, going to be a lot of fun. Now, this prediction is based on free agency, but I'm going to say he's going to get drafted by the Giants at like the 24th pick, I think it was, and this is based on Saquon Barkley signing somewhere else. If that does happen, I think Bijan goes to the Giants and he succeeds there. They've got a pretty good offensive line. They've shown that Brian Daboll is creative with the offensive scheme there. And I think Bijan Robinson would thrive in that kind of offense. So, especially if Saquon's not there. So, yeah, Giants.
That would be very interesting. It is going to be very interesting to track the free agent class. I know this draft class, a fair amount of people like the running back depth. It's not amazing. Bijan's obviously a stud at the top, but you have a ton of guys that are going to be free agents. I just, you know what I mean? Like the age old, like, do you pay a running back thing? Like, it's hard to imagine Saquon not being on the Giants, but he's also, you know, got some wear on his tires. He's been injured. He's done a lot for that franchise. He looked really good this year. He's not old by any means, but, you know, giving him like a 4-year, like Zeke type of contract that just kind of handcuffs you a little bit. I'm sure the numbers have come down kind of since that contract happened, but it'll just be interesting to see each team that, you know, might have a perceived need at running back or, you know, an impending free agent, what they ultimately decide to do is like, okay, should we fill that need via draft? Do we go and get like a lower level free agent guy that's not going to cost us much? Will be very interesting. I'm going to go with kind of the choice that you see on a lot of mocks, quite frankly, the Philadelphia Eagles. They have the 10th pick. That would be a good spot for it. They're either going to have the 31st or the 32nd pick. I don't think he'll fall that far, if I'm being frank. But the 10th pick, like everyone like always, you know, talks about, oh, it's the luxury pick for the Eagles. But it's like the reality is Miles Sanders is going to be a free agent. If they decide not to pay him, they now have a cap-controlled running back on a rookie contract, the best in the class. Their game is very heavily dependent on the run game. Jalen Hurts is a young quarterback. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are young receivers. Pair it with a great young running back. To me, it just makes a world of sense, and they really don't have that many needs. I think running back is kind of one of their weaker positions, even though Sanders has had a really strong year. I think it just makes a lot of sense for Philly to do that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
My dark horse, we'll go L.A. Chargers. That's a 22nd pick. Again, it's really hard to project where we see him because so many people think of him as such a great prospect, but also there's not a lot of teams that need running backs if you just kind of go through the middle of this first round. We'll get down to the Chargers. Obviously, have Austin Eckler. Pairing him with a Bijan Robinson makes a lot of sense. You know, Eckler continues to be the third down back, pound it to him, give him some goal line carries. You know, he's obviously been great for them, but he's getting a little bit older. You kind of ease Bijan Robinson into the fold. You attach him to, you know, a young stud quarterback in Justin Herbert. So, yeah, don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but I think it's a dark horse for the Chargers to eventually upgrade that running back position. You know, Josh Kelly hasn't really worked out. I forget even some of the other running backs that they brought in.
Isaiah Spiller, I guess. We still have Isaiah Spiller. Don't worry about
it.
Yeah,
so he's still there. He didn't do anything this
year. Don't worry, Joe. We still have our bet going. I'm going to win that one.
What was the bet again?
I can't remember, but I think it was something like maybe he's got more than 25 carries next year in a Chargers uniform.
Gotcha. Yeah, that'll be insane.
Yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs, interesting prospect out of Alabama, Ben.
Yeah, he is, I would say, exciting. He's an exciting prospect because he's a very good receiver out of the backfield.
Yep.
Very two-dimensional kind of back, multi-dimensional kind of back, however you want to say it. And I think somewhere where he would thrive, and he, you know, I think he's not a guy that could be maybe like a full RB1 kind of guy, but some guy who can split carries with another guy who I think needs to split carries, and that would be Alvin Kamara on the Saints. So Jahmyr Gibbs to the Saints seems like a really good fit where they can both kind of complement each other. I feel like they both run hard, they both play hard, but they're not built to play every snap. And so they would be perfect, and they'd be complementing each other, and they'd split, like, you know, half and half the snaps, and I think they'd be, you know, a great running back duo in the NFL.
That would be interesting. I feel like that's the player comp that you get with Gibbs most often, so that would be funny to see them paired together. I'm going to go with Miami. Now, I wanted to make note that their first pick, since they forfeited their first-round pick for, like, tampering or whatever, their first pick is number 51 overall, so he would have to fall there. Granted, the mock I read on ESPN had him going, like, 55th or something. But I'll go the Dolphins. Their running back room is completely unsettled between Jeff Wilson Jr., Raheem Mostert, Ahmed. I think in general they're gonna make a play at a running back. I mean, frankly, if they had their first round pick this year, I think going after Bijan Robinson would make a ton of sense for them, but they don't. So they settle for Gibbs. I think they could pair him. I don't know the contract situation with the other two guys. Gibbs, yeah, I think is more of a factor in the receiving game. Pair him with a little bit more of a big body running back. You know, whether that's bringing in like a James Conner via free agency or something like that, who knows? But I think Miami will kind of overhaul its running back situation. My dark horse, let's go with the Minnesota Vikings, Ben. Alexander Mattison's an impending free agent. I don't really see them keeping him on board. I feel like he's going to make a little bit more money elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's shown enough to get not necessarily a starting opportunity, but at least a timeshare somewhere. Yeah. So then that leaves Dalvin Cook at, I believe, 28 years old. You bring in a Gibbs. You can play them both at the same time. Obviously, the Vikings have always liked throwing the ball to their running backs. They got a good scheme to get the running backs involved. And both the running and passing game, and could, you know, ultimately be the guy that takes over for Dalvin Cook. Like we've talked about, we don't know if he can necessarily handle a three down load, but, you know, you bring him into the fold and then, you know, sign someone else down the road if Cook eventually does move on, retire, what have you. All right, Ben, let's get into these receivers. Let's try to fly relatively quick through them. We tight ends as well. Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, so I think a great fit for him would be the Chargers. Rumblings are that Keenan Allen could be cut. They've got Josh Palmer and Mike Williams, but I think another kind of receiver who can get, you know, like first down, not just be a deep threat, that would be Njigba, would be a good target for Justin Herbert there.
Absolutely. Keenan Allen cap casualty?
That's what I've heard. That's some of the rumblings there.
Okay. Wouldn't shock me. I'll go with the Titans. It's gross, but they just have nothing at receiver. They have the 11th pick. That'd be decently high for Smith and Jigba. I really don't have a great sense where these receivers are going to go.
Yeah.
But ever since they traded A.J. Brown, you know, they've just been a mess at receiver. I know they drafted Treylon Burks. That'd be a couple of – I guess Destin Smith and Jigba is not like a huge body, but a couple of like solid-bodied guys, kind of a good 1-2 punch. And then my dark horse, Dallas – that would mean he'd have to fall to the 27th pick. I just think Dallas is going to be in the mix to draft a receiver. I don't necessarily think round one, but they've got Gallup. They've got Lamb. Gallup was still a little bit slow this season coming off the ACL, was good at times, not so good at others. CD's a star, but they really don't have a third guy at all. Jalen Tolbert did nothing for them. Maybe he emerges. I just wouldn't shock me if, you know, one of these big names is available at 27 or if they can trade up a little bit to get one. Wouldn't shock me to see that. How about Jordan Addison, Ben?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. I'm not sure if Stephon Diggs is going to be in Buffalo next season. It's kind of sounding a little bit weird. But either way, they kind of seem like they need another third piece there. Someone who can get, you know, yardage and be a decent third option for Josh Allen. And I think Jordan Addison would be a great fit in Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the reality is we've seen enough of Gabe Davis to know that he's not like an elite receiver. He's
just
an okay one. He's a big body. Diggs isn't a big body, but he feels like he's got decent size. Addison's a smaller, faster receiver. I like that fit. I actually went with New England, Ben, the Patriots, simply because they're sitting there at 14, just staring me in the eye right where I think some of these receivers are going to start to go. They have a disgusting receiver room. I wouldn't be that mad about Jordan Addison going there. I like him. He went to USC. That's cool. But they need a lot of help in that receiver room, kind of all types, honestly. I don't even – Tyquan Thornton's a speed guy. Addison's a speed guy. The more speed, the better. So that's the main one. And then my dark horse is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh drafts receivers better than really any other franchise in the league. And the reality is they just, I think, hit a home run on George Pickens last year. They've got Deontay probably for one, maybe two more years. I don't know his exact contract. They got rid of Chase Claypool. I can't even I honestly, Ben, can't even think of another Pittsburgh receiver. Obviously, they have Freiermuth at tight end, but I can't name who would be like the third receiver in Pittsburgh right now.
I couldn't tell you.
And so I think they'll definitely address the position. Now, granted, at pick 17, like if there's a good offensive lineman there or a good corner there, I think that's absolutely where they would go. So maybe it's more of a second round, you know, take a stab at a guy, third round, because that's where they usually draft guys well. But then the Kenny Pickett, Jordan Addison, University of Pittsburgh in the same building connection could be had. You never know.
That'd be a lot of fun.
People love that story, Ben, that they all play at Heinz Field or whatever it's called now.
Yeah, it should be Heinz Field.
Yeah, forever.
Quentin Johnson, wide receiver.
Beast.
You love him. honestly, any of these wide receivers could have worked in this spot, honestly. But I went with Kansas City. I just feel like he would be a great option for Mahomes. Especially for some reason, just because he's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the skill set. I think Mahomes would be just so happy to have a wide receiver like him.
Yeah. Yeah. They haven't had a lot of big bodied guys, I feel like, and MVS doesn't really count. I'll go Houston. And this would basically be, you know, with the 12th pick, unless he fell to the second round. Say they get a Bryce Young or a CJ Stroud with the first pick. Pair him with a young receiver with the 12th pick. I also like the big body addition if they find a way to keep Brandon Cooks. I know a lot of people like Nico Collins, but they are very much lacking like a red zone presence, a threat, size, catch radius, jump ball artist, all that stuff that Quentin Johnson is. So give him to the Texans there. And then dark horse, which is really not a dark horse at all, that would be the Ravens. They have the 23rd pick. I hate mocking receivers to the Ravens because it's just a place where receivers go to die. But, you know, fingers crossed, Lamar Jackson gets his contract sorted out. He stays healthy, continues to evolve as a passer. It's been a couple of years with the injuries that we haven't really seen him facilitate like good receivers in a while. And I know they haven't had good receivers, so that doesn't help. But in theory, if you've got Mark Andrews, you've got Rashad Bateman, you've got Quentin Johnson, you've got a nice little core going on offense to balance with the run game that's obviously so effective for them. How about Zay Flowers, Ben, one of your favorite prospects?
Yeah, I love this guy, but I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens here. Ravens, I think, need some more wide receiver help there. I like Bateman. Mark Andrews is a, you know, good option at tight end. But other than those two, it falls off a little bit, and I think Zay Flowers would be a great option to extend plays and routes for Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely. Speed guy, yeah?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Cool. I'm going to go New England. Second receiver mock to New England here. Best fit. They just need so much help at that position. If they happen to get Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers in back-to-back rounds, that would put a lot of speed onto the field for them. Boston College guy, keep him in Boston. Enough said there. And then my dark horse would be Philly. I was just thinking, you know, they do have the couple of first round picks. Not that I necessarily expect them to, you know, take them at 31 or 32, but that wouldn't be crazy. They've got Devontae Smith. They've got AJ Brown. And then Quez Watkins was the only other receiver I could really think of. So they don't really have that third guy. And, you know, if I've heard about Zay Flowers, like I think I have, he's a speed guy, could be a slot guy. Those two on the outside, they can move him around a little bit. I feel like he offers them a little bit more upside than, say, a Quez Watkins has.
I think that's a good call. Josh Downs, wide receiver, University of North Carolina. Now, this is a guy that I place with New England. He is a little bit of a longer, leaner guy. In my opinion, a little bit more multidimensional, I guess. And not, like, super. You know what? He's just 5'10". But he just seems more dimensional to me. Something that the Patriots like to play around with. So, yeah, Patriots here sound good to me.
Yeah, sounds like they need receivers. I'll go Dallas on this one as the best fit. Again, talked about their need for a third receiver. If he's, in fact, kind of a smaller speed guy, not necessarily a gadget player, but a guy that can take the top off, I feel like that's what they're missing. CeeDee's certainly fast. Gallup, more of a possession receiver. But if they had a true burner to kind of take the defense's attention away every once in a while, I feel like that would help them a lot. And then my dark horse, I said the Jets. The Jets have a stud in Garrett Wilson. They have Elijah Moore and whatever that is. Probably might move on from him this offseason. You ever know. He hasn't seemed very happy there. Corey Davis probably has maybe one, maybe two more years where they're financially tied to him. So I think it's just time to kind of evolve around Garrett Wilson and then a secondary receiver. Obviously, if they can make that work with Elijah Moore, that's fine. But I still think adding another playmaker makes a lot of sense. How about our last wide receiver, Ben?
That would be Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver, Tennessee. Is he the last? Yeah, he is.
Yes, sir.
I went with Chicago Bears. At this point, I just haven't drafted or mocked a wide receiver of the Bears. And I know
that's a great point. Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah, because they'll have well, I guess they don't have the first pick of the second round because they traded it to the Steelers for Chase Claypool, which was a great trade.
Great trade.
But yeah, you're right. I forgot about the Bears just because I was thinking more first round for some of these guys. I do think Jalin Hyatt's probably late first, early second type of guy. I'm going to go with the New York Giants. I saw, granted, this was in the ESPN mock, so that helped. But the Giants, desperate at receiver, another team that we haven't mentioned at all, who are bad at receiver.
Well, they do have Isaiah Hodgins, so let's back up a little bit.
I did forget about Isaiah Hodgins. I also forgot about Wandale Robinson. Two guys I actually like. So I think it's not as barren as people think. Meanwhile, Ben, Rangers up 2-0. I got a -1.5. Come on, that's how we start the game, boys.
Love that.
Anyway, I think Jalin Hyatt, either way, with those two receivers, makes a lot of sense because he takes the top off of the defense. And I think he's very different as a prospect than a Hodgins and a Wandale Robinson. Kind of that blend between the two of them where he's got good size but also great speed. Wandale's a shorter guy. Hodgins is a taller guy. I think he fits right in as a third receiver. And then my dark horse, let's go to Minnesota Vikings. I think, odds are that they move on from Adam Thielen. Obviously, Justin Jefferson's a god. I'm a big KJ Osborne fan. I think he could step into that wide receiver two role next year. He definitely showed some flashes. But, again, another guy, complimentary, does things a little bit different than those two guys that they have right now. So if they don't go the, free agent wide receiver route, which there's not a lot of good free agent wide receivers last time I checked, I think the Vikings would make a lot of sense. How about the tight ends? This vaunted tight end class, Ben.
Love it. Yeah, Michael Mayer, tight end Notre Dame. I think that he would be a great fit in Detroit if somehow you can get there. He's a great blocker. He's a great receiver down the field. Great receiver short. He's a tough, tough player. I think Dan Campbell would love him. So give me my – he's just a way more talented Dan Campbell, to be honest with you. So give me Michael Mayer.
Love that. Yeah, I really like that fit. Would be interesting. I think, pick 18, that could make a lot of sense if he falls that far. I've got him going pick 13 to the Jets. That might be a little bit rich for some people, but I know I see him pretty highly mocked for some teams. The reality is they brought in Uzoma, Tyler Conklin. Those are just really average tight ends. I wouldn't say the Jets actually don't have a ton of needs. Like if they figure out their quarterback situation via free agency, they've got good running backs, good receivers. Their offensive line needs help, don't get me wrong. But the defense has a lot of young studs on it. So it could just make some sense to kind of put the finishing pieces on that offense, whether it's a Jimmy G or a Carr or whoever it may be that they bring in via free agency. I guess Rodgers, even though I don't see that happening. But and then my dark horse, I'll go Carolina. That's who I mocked them to when we did that 10-pick mock last podcast. That would be the 9th pick. It would be pretty high. The Panthers just don't have a lot going on at tight end. I know they need to sort out the quarterback position first, but just adds another piece to DJ Moore and I guess some of the other stuff that they have going on offense. Yeah. But
Darnell Washington, tight end, Georgia.
Beast.
Just a massive, massive, massive human being. I think he would be really fun in Philadelphia where he can become kind of a tight end duo with Dallas Goedert, but also be like a 6th offensive lineman there for that run game. And they
can late first could make sense there for him.
So yeah, exactly. So I think that'd be a really fun premium pick for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely. I'll go with another. I wouldn't even say this is a premium pick, but late first round, the Cincinnati Bengals. For the last couple of years, I've really wanted the Bengals to draft a tight end. It's just kind of like the final missing piece, and they're just like really swaggy offense. And just like thinking about the idea of Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Darnell Washington, Joe Mixon, just Joe Burrow, like, good Lord. They could keep, one of the guys around. I think Hayden Hurst is a free agent. They'll probably let him walk. I know they got some other random tight ends in the mix there, but that's, I think, since he's a tight end away from truly having an exceptional offense, and frankly, their offense is about as good as it gets anyway. My dark horse, I said Detroit, kind of similar to your thinking with Michael Meyer there. I don't see Darnell Washington going as high as 18 necessarily, but maybe an early second round pick or even mid second round pick to Detroit. Just a team with a massive void at tight end now that they traded TJ Hawkinson. So that'd be pretty sick too.
Yeah. Dalton Kincaid, tight end, Utah. Riser, I would say. But I think the Bengals, another team that we've mentioned.
Not to be confused with Dalton Riser.
No. Yeah, exactly. Dalton Kincaid, Bengals. They have, you know, Hayden Hurst, who's a good tight end, but getting another one there who is a vertical threat down the field would be a very good, you know, I think, idea for a guy like Joe Burrow for the rest of his career. So, yeah, Dalton Kincaid to the Bengals.
Love it. I'll go Jaguars. Evan Engram only signed a one-year deal last year. Certainly he had a strong season, or at least a strong handful of games that made it seem like he had a strong season. He did add a bit of punch to that offense. So if they were unable to re-sign him, I think this would be a pick that made sense. Even if they do re-sign Evan Engram, I don't think it's going to be a long-term deal necessarily. So bringing in a guy via the draft makes a lot of sense. Pair him with a young quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. They got some nice weapons at receiver. So that's my main one. And in the dark horse, I'll go Packers. It's really not even a dark horse. I don't necessarily think the Packers would pick him. I mean, certainly don't think they would pick him as high as 15, although Daniel Jeremiah does have him as his ninth ranked player, so you never know. But I think the Packers would make a lot of sense. Robert Tonyan just hasn't really developed into the player that some people thought he might become. They've obviously had some weird offensive struggles as it is, but we'll go with the Packers, certainly as a candidate in a strong tight end class to upgrade there. I also believe Tonyan might be a free agent. And then lastly, the boy you were talking about earlier, Ben, Luke Musgrave, the Beaver out of Oregon State.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Vegas here. You know, they need another tight end, in my opinion. Waller is getting a little bit up there in age. Foster Moreau is not really that guy, per se. And I think this gives whoever's going to play quarterback there another receiving option with Devontae Adams and future Pro Bowler, All-Pro Hunter Renfrow as well.
Absolutely. I'll go Washington, the Commanders. Big Logan Thomas fan here, but he's certainly not getting any younger. I know who's the guy. Cole Turner is another young tight end that they have. Just a relatively unsettled position for the Commanders. Again, not that I think that they're going to address this position in the first round with the 16th pick, but I think some of these guys, it wouldn't shock me to have them fall to the early second round. So we'll give them to the Commanders, pair them with a great young quarterback like Sam Howell, make some magic happen. And then my dark horse, we'll go with the Niners. Haven't mentioned the Niners once during any of these. Obviously, they have a pretty loaded offense, so giving them offensive weapons doesn't seem extremely likely. They did trade their first-round pick as well, so this would probably be a late second-round pick if it happened. George Kittle, not over the hill by any means, but as an offense that includes multiple tight ends and does a lot of, you know, kind of tricky stuff, I think it would certainly make sense to pair another tight end and kind of a young guy that maybe, you know, 3-4 years down the line or is fully taking over for George Kittle, depending on his situation, his contract, all that stuff.
Yep.
All right, Ben, we've addressed everything NFL related. We're a little over an hour into the podcast. You'll love to see it. Now what we're going to do, Ben, just so people don't have to wait until the very end, we're going to talk a little rookie of the year and GM of the year voting. I have not announced the results. You can see them here in the Google Doc. I have not announced them to the league yet. I will text it out, and then people can hear our discussion on it here on the podcast. Really interesting. Okay, we'll start with GM of the Year. Drum roll, please, Ben. This one actually wasn't, like, super close, and it was Nick getting 7 votes, Joe getting 3 votes, Scott getting 2 votes, 3 very deserving candidates.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only other people that, you know, were kind of like had really good seasons, at least from a win-loss record perspective, would have been myself and Anthony, and both of us came in with pretty high expectations and did not win a playoff game. So would not have expected votes there. Nick did a tremendous job of building his roster through all the trades that he made.
Yeah.
You know, juggernaut, 13-1. He's,
according to William, it was, you know, easy just putting together a super team. So not right. That flaky.
Right. Just like Julian Love said, you know, it's really easy to coach the Eagles. Sirianni's not doing anything, you know. What's so funny to me about that quote, Ben, is that he's like completely discounting the fact that Sirianni's been there for what, three years? So like, it's obviously like a part of the process of like drafting the players and developing them and all of that stuff. It's not like
He's so
biased. I know he's an idiot, but it's like, it's not like he just like got propped into like, hey, here's his first year, and he just took over for like a retired coach that just won the Super Bowl with a great roster. Like,
it was just such a bad look, especially after he got
drafted. So dumb. So anyway, congrats to Nick. 7 votes, GM of the year. We'll be in touch on creating that custom T-shirt for you. Last year, not everyone knows this. Last year, I asked Joe, like, hey, I don't know if you've got custom ink experience, but like, if you want to take a first stab at creating the shirt, do your thing. And he's like, I've honestly never used it. So I actually just created the whole thing. He really liked it, thought it looked good. So maybe we'll keep that tradition alive where I just, you know, kind of make it themed towards the team name. We'll see what we can cook up with Moz Meatloaf. Anyway, deserving winner there, Nick, despite not winning the championship. Obviously, that was unfortunate, but a hell of a year. Broke a lot of records. Did a great job GMing in 2022. Can't complain there. Rookie of the Year voting, Ben. This one was close and a bit unexpected. We're going to start with a fourth place vote getter, if you will. Really surprising because this guy was the top-ranked wide receiver amongst rookies for fantasy. In general, had the most receiving yards. And that was Garrett Wilson. Only got one vote. Now, granted, I know people can't vote for their own players, so we know Daniel was, you know, pounding the table for Garrett Wilson and the other podcasts that we recorded with him in the offseason, some of the mailbag questions. Anyway, kind of surprising. Garrett Wilson, just one vote there. Chris Olave came in third place. He had 2 votes. So, again, another one with high quality. Those were kind of the 2 top receivers. Certainly Christian Watson had some traction going because of how well he played when in Zach's lineup. Certainly wanted to be sure to highlight that in the slideshow. And then second place, a close loser, Damian Pierce with 4 votes. Honestly, as an owner of Pierce, I was shocked that he even had this many votes. I didn't necessarily think he had a legitimate shot. But people, I guess the fact that that he was the best rookie on one of the few teams that made the playoffs in that whole slideshow, that certainly swayed some people's votes.
Yeah.
And that leaves us with the winner, number 1, Kenneth Walker with 5 votes. That's a 5-4 win for Kenneth Walker. Did have a really good season for the Seahawks. Played in 15 games. Great statistics. Number 1 running back in terms of points put up. Was on the worst team in the league, but that shit's going to happen sometimes.
He was the number one rookie overall as well, right?
That part I never compared because I would only do it positionally.
Yeah, but I assume he was.
We can probably find that out pretty quickly here.
I think that he was just because I think he had 188 and then Wilson had 165 or something like that.
Yeah, let's take a look here.
And that was the 1 wide receiver 1. And then Kenneth Walker was RB1, so I'm pretty sure that was.
Yeah, he had 181.5. You're right, and Wilson had 168.
I mean, that's. I'll be honest with you, that's why I voted for him, because he had the most overall rookie points. And, like, in my opinion, it's fantasy football. Like, he's got no control. I mean, even in real football, he's got no control where he lands and, you know, on what team. But yet he still put up the most points. So I voted for him. And
no, I feel you. I think it's a tough equation. You know, I tried to put together the slideshow, not like to push any kind of agenda, just to be like, hey, in case you're wondering how many games that they played in.
But like, here's the thing. Tell me about the slideshow when you're done here.
Okay. All I would say is, here's the thing is, like, sure, we can say that he played on Bosco's team that was the worst team, but that was by design. You know, either way, we knew that going in. But also, he played a shit ton of games. So it's not like his great production, unfortunately, didn't lead to more wins for Bosco, but it was, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a situation where he didn't play that many games or whatever it was. It made a lot of sense because, frankly, you know, 1,050 yards, 9 touchdowns, 12.1 fantasy points per game. He was the 15th overall running back in general amongst all running backs. So just a really strong year.
Yeah. No, so your slideshow was great. I loved it. I think it's good to see get some criteria out there and, you know, some stats, even though people should be able to look it up themselves, in my opinion. but I just feel like our league has to be better than this. We don't need a slideshow, gentlemen. Just vote for it. You guys got it. I promise you. But again, you probably helped a lot of people vote. And people admitted that. But in my head, I was just like, man, we don't need this. Skaggs doesn't need to work this hard on a slideshow. But respect to you for putting together a good slideshow. I think it helped a lot of people make a decision.
Thanks. I would say I'm split on that. I wouldn't say anyone asked for the slideshow. That was my own idea. Yeah. And part of it is because I felt like without it, and granted, I already knew who I was voting for well before I put together the slideshow. And for what it's worth, I voted for Chris Olave. I'm sure I mentioned that plenty in the podcast previously as well. Yeah. He was just always in my head, the rookie of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Granted, it made it really hard that Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Kenneth Walker were on three teams that did not make the playoffs and quite frankly didn't come very close in our league. The one thing I would change about the slideshow, because obviously it took a lot of time to put in like what games that they started, I think what I might do next year is just take a screenshot of their game logs and then use some kind of like a highlighter tool just to show like, hey, these are the games that they were started in.
Yeah.
Again, still some work to be done, but I don't know. I still liked it. I like putting it together. And granted, I kind of forced everyone to vote today so we could talk about it. But I actually liked seeing, really interesting to me to see like, here was this team's record with so-and-so in the lineup. That was very interesting to me. Here was their points per game, right? Like, you know, obviously Zach was lobbying for Christian Watson for so long. Dude averaged 18 points a game when he was in Zach's lineup. Granted, Zach only went 3-3. So that's kind of the weird correlation is he did so well, Zach just 500 with him in the lineup. But anyway, just seeing those kinds of things, like I talked about, I had Jahan Dotson in the slideshow here. And then I started going through, I'm like, holy shit, he only started two games, none of the playoff games. Like, that's just not worth putting in there because I do think there is a certain element of how many games someone has started for that fantasy team. Mm-hmm. Pacheco's another good example where at the end of the day, his stats were good, 830 yards, 5 touchdowns, really came on near the end of the year. But Rob did only start him for 4 games because it wasn't clear that he was going to be the starter until kind of later in the season. And then because Rob didn't make the playoffs, some of his better games were also week 15, 16, 17, 18. So it all factors. We'll see. Again, I'll kind of get some feedback from people if we want to continue doing the slideshow. It doesn't have to be that way. Also, an important thing to remember, Ben, is it's just so different than last year where there are so many candidates. I'm not saying these were all equal candidates, but that's part of the reason. Like last year, I could have just been like, hey, here's Jamar Chase, here's Waddle. Dude.
I'm just a grumpy old man. Like, it just...
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just sitting on my lawn just yelling at everyone, so...
That is a good point. So, congrats to Nick. We'll work on the t-shirt. Congrats to Bosco with Kenneth Walker. I guess it's a good thing that Bosco is not a diehard Niners fan, because now he's going to be rocking a Kenneth Walker jersey. Or if there's something else he wants Kenneth Walker related, we can certainly negotiate that. I'll have a conversation with Bosco if he's not feeling a jersey. But that would be a pretty sick jersey to own. And then lastly, Ben, we've got our trade recap of 2023. We're going to have to try to fly through this relatively quickly just so we don't
make this up. Should we go over every one, or should we just maybe pick our like top?
Well, I think we're going to highlight the big ones. And I think we just start from the top. This is the Dynasty Kings 2023 trades recap presented by Trader Joe's. If you didn't know, everyone at Trader Joe's is fucking. That's just how it works. If you work there, you're fucking one of your employees.
Wow.
The horniest place on earth. Yeah, we kind of, I wouldn't say we uncovered that this week, but in a group text, people were talking about it and everyone's like, yeah, you're right. Like everyone's always like flirting with each other. It's like, yeah, they're like wearing those Hawaiian shirts, kind of hippies, just fucking.
Interesting.
All right. So let's just highlight the big ones and we can just say, you know, it can be a recap. It can be a winner. We don't need to put a grade on it. Just kind of some quick thoughts. Very first one of 2023 was January 9th. Bosco received Cooper Kupp, wide receiver from the Rams, from me. I received Sky Moore and Anthony's 2025 first. What was your reaction to that trade, Ben?
Does Bosco still have Cooper Kupp?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's an interesting trade. I didn't know Bosco. Like, that's a little old of a player for Bosco's roster, in my opinion. But I also see Bosco really trying to compete for next year, so it makes somewhat sense. I think for you it makes sense as well because Sky Moore, you – buy Sky Moore kind of a low price, but you also get a first-round pick out of it, and Anthony's first-round pick could be like a top three pick, in my opinion, because Anthony's team is going to be trash for like the next 10 years. it makes sense to me.
Okay. Yeah, Kupp is still – I mean, unless you're asking, like, has Bosco traded him since? No, I just
– in my head, like I said, it just seemed like maybe it would be like a guy that Bosco trades for, and then he trades again for he thinks more value because – Listen, Bosco's a great trader like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he's scheming all the time, which I respect.
Well, here's the reality of the situation, I think, for Team Bosco is he doesn't have his first-round pick next year. Obviously, has a ton of picks in this year's draft. And so he went out. He got Cooper Kupp. He got Freiermuth. He got Brandon Ayuk. He got Donovan Peoples-Jones. We'll talk about, obviously, that trade that involves some of those guys from your team. But he added a fair amount of guys to the point where – Right. He's obviously competing next year. He already had Kenneth Walker and Lamar Jackson. So now he plugs in your Bijan Robinson and maybe a couple other picks or trades those picks for a player. And he legitimately does have like a pretty strong starting lineup almost immediately again. Yeah. And so I think that's pretty well done. Just a quick note from my perspective. I didn't come into the offseason planning to trade Cooper Kupp. It's just when I looked at him, Allen Robinson, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, Antonio Gibson, right? All those different guys. Kupp's really the only one that I could justify. Like, okay, maybe I can still get a first round pick for him. I think it's probably going to be one more go around with Stafford, Kupp, McVay, the Rams kind of going all in for one more year. And then who knows, Stafford might retire from there. I don't necessarily think Kupp's going to retire. He's an amazing football player, but it's kind of my last shot. And kind of what I wanted to do is load up on 2025 picks. I don't have any picks in this draft really, 24, but I have enough young guys on the roster 2 years in them where I feel, okay, let's try to kind of load with some young talent in 2025. So I figured I'd start with that. And then Sky Moore is just always a player that I've liked. So I took a flyer on him. I'm not that discouraged by this season. Who knows? He could completely fall off the map. But I think, you know, learning curve, came from Western Michigan, maybe takes him a year in a complex offense. They signed other guys. They brought in veterans. Who knows? He might get kind of the keys to the receiver room, you know, sooner than we think. And that was more of kind of a throw in, to be honest. But
and then he was a first round pick. Then you get the guaranteed top three pick, too.
I didn't mind Anthony trading some of his better players this offseason in lieu of acquiring that. We'll skip right across Nick acquiring Zonovan Knight for two third-round picks, but congrats. Isaiah Hodgins, Ben, that's one of those trades, but like you saw him in the playoffs. It's like, holy shit, he really is kind of emerging more than we thought.
It's a flyer.
But an intriguing one.
It's a flyer. We'll see what happens. You know,
but you got to be encouraged.
I am encouraged. I think he could be a nice little flex option in the future. I really do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you'll have to give up $10 of 2024 FAB if he finishes top 50. But, you know, that's the price you pay.
I've been having nightmares over that one for a while now, honestly.
Yeah. That is the price you pay. A big one here. This was the start of Anthony's fire sale. He gave up Mike Evans and Amari Cooper, both traded to Scott. In return, he got Gabe Davis in pick number 14 in 2023. Let's hear your thoughts, Ben.
Sorry, I guess you heard my thoughts right there. We've got over Gabe Davis, so that's just funny to me that he traded two wide receiver ones for Gabe Davis in the second round pick. So it'll be interesting to see who he picks at 14. But I just
Ben, you know he doesn't have that pick anymore. Come on, Ben.
Sorry. That's my bad. But yeah, Scott, great job on this trade.
Yeah, I think it was a good one. Don't get me wrong, Mike Evans' future very interesting with the whole Tampa Bay situation. It kind of seems like Carr might be leaning towards the Saints. I thought Carr would have been a nice stopgap for the Bucs offense to keep being solid. I mean, I love Mike Evans. Another guy who wouldn't shock me if he retired at a relatively young age. I think he hasn't missed a lot of games, but he's always kind of banged up. Amari Cooper had a really good year with Cleveland. I think Watson struggled, but I still feel like he's locked in there to a lot of production. Yeah, I just would have – if for Anthony, I don't mind him moving off either of those guys, both of them a little bit older. You know, their future's a little bit uncertain as to how long they're going to be elite. I just would have loved to have gotten either a first-round pick or like an elite receiver in return, or at least a young guy with like some serious upside. You know, maybe not even that these guys have crazy upside, but a Romeo Doubs, a Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson, you know, all on Scott's team would have liked to see him get a young guy that we feel a little bit better about than Gabe Davis. Another massive one, Nick receiving Derrick Henry, pick number 14, the one that was just involved in the previous trade, and Anthony's 2026 second-round pick. Anthony received George Kittle in pick number 10.
It's a little bit better. I still lean towards the running back just because running back values in this league. And, you know, you still get a second and another high second. And Kittle could be good, but I still like Henry a bit more. So I think Snides wins the trade, but not a bad trade.
Yeah, definitely not bad. Moves up four spots in the draft. Again, I think he's traded his pick number 10 anyway, so we'll get to that in just a bit. Gets George Kittle. Getting rid of Derrick Henry makes sense that one of these days he will fall off, but we just don't know when that's going to be. I don't necessarily think giving up the 2026 second in that deal was necessary. This is just another one where it's like if I'm getting rid of I'm not entirely sure on the direction for Anthony, and not in a bad way. It's just usually when you're giving up these older players, you're getting like young guys in return. Kittle, not a super young guy. Would have been interesting to see if, you know, he went after like a Rashad White, and this kind of a deal could have made sense. Not that Snides would be dying to get rid of Rashad White, but you know what I mean? When you're giving up an alpha like Derrick Henry, you know, maybe trying to go after some of those young guys with some promise. But gets Kittle, gets the 10th pick in the draft. Makes sense. Again, I think he moves that 10th pick, but we'll digress and move forward. Ben, you joined the action on January 13th, 2023, trading for DeAndre Swift, pick number 24 in this year's draft, as well as Rob's 2024 second. In the process, you gave up Pat Freiermuth, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and your own 2025 first-round pick.
Yeah, taking a swing here for a running back who's still young and I think has talent. So I'm interested to see what he does, you know, does what he can do in the future. I've got a pretty good running back core right now. I know that might have a shorter leash per se, but they're all very young. I think they're all very talented, and next year's going to be very interesting. You know, I give up a tight end one, Freiermuth, but I have Greg Dulcich, who I think is a tight end one in the future, to be honest with you. Peoples-Jones was a nice flex, but I think I have other flex options. The 25-1, listen, I've mortgaged my future. I really have. But as Joe's article said, I'm not a good drafter, so fuck it, right? Let's do it.
I still need to catch up on that article, to be honest.
I still get pick 24 this year, which I still have.
That's your money zone, though.
So we'll see what happens. And I get a 24 second as well, which I think can be a decent pick in Rob's pick. So, yeah, I think that could be a top 20 pick. So I'm excited to see what happens with this trade.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think Jamal Williams leaving in free agency would certainly be helpful from the DeAndre Swift perspective. I'm a Freiermuth fan for sure. There's just not a lot of young tight ends out there. I like what I saw out of Pickett, but I agree that he is a movable piece, especially with Greg Dulcich in tow, Brevin Jordan in tow. Peoples-Jones is really a hard assessment for me. I had him in our other dynasty league. He had a really good year. I'm not confident that that's going to continue every year, but he's not old either, so that's an interesting one. Ben, what's interesting is in both the league history and in this document, I have failed to put in the other trade that you made.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just on me. I don't know if you have the details anywhere handy, but the DJ Moore pick 9.
Let's see here.
I clearly need to add that to the mix. This is with you and Daniel. This is when we were up in Vail.
Let me see here if I can find anything on my phone.
Yeah, while you're looking for it.
Here you go. I got it. Okay. Now this is a controversial trade. People gave me a lot of shit for it. I have a lot of screenshots for it right now.
A lot of receipts.
Next year, I gave up DJ Moore a 26-1 and a 28-1 for pick 9. A 25-2 and a 25-3. Off the bat, it doesn't sound great. I know that's a lot of ones to get back. But a 28-1 to me is, like, not really extremely valuable, in my opinion. That's so far down the road that I'm here to win ships now, so fuck it. The 26-1, listen, at that point, I can either be winning ships still or we're trading players away to get ones back. That's how I feel about it. So this league picks are just traded away, like, you know, however you want to describe it, but it just, they're traded away so often that I think it's available, you know, it's definitely possible I can get them back at any point. So that's how I feel. So fuck it. Here we go. Pick 9. I have a good feeling about who I want there. And I think it's going to happen.
Fired up for you, Ben. Yeah, my only reaction wasn't as harsh as some others. Is I just felt like pick number 9 and DJ Moore, like, you could relatively put on even planes. Like, if you had just swapped that straight up, that would have made sense. So then that's where it got a little bit weird. It's like, okay, then you're trading the 2 ones for a second and a third.
Yeah, DJ's Moore value is really nobody was interested in DJ Moore. It was tough to trade him. I know he's coming off a bad season. But I just felt
like it's just the QB situation. I mean, we've talked about this. We've both had him. We like the player a lot. It's just like, man, I just wish there was a little bit more clarity on what they're going to do. But then again, like if they all of a sudden end up with, you know, quarterback in this draft, maybe that helps. Who knows? Yeah. Another one on January 13th. This was a big trade day. Zach received Khalil Herbert, running back from the Bears, and Scott's 2024 first-round pick from Bosco. Bosco received Brandon Ayuk. Sounds like Bosco was after Brandon Ayuk for quite a while. Interesting move for Zach. Ayuk was kind of one of his not-so-old trade pieces that he could get some value for. Certainly, Zach has a couple first-round picks this year. I forget exactly what it looks like next year, but, you know, kind of stocking up on picks. Kind of in a similar boat to me a little bit, where we've had some talented rosters, but at some point we're going to kind of need a youth infusion of talent there. So, yeah, that 2024, he has his own pick as well as Scott's.
I think it's relatively even trade for everyone around.
Yeah. And Herbert's intriguing.
Yeah, exactly.
Hasn't stayed healthy enough, but if Montgomery goes somewhere in free agency, I think Herbert could be the guy for the Bears. I think you're taking a flyer on that, so not a bad deal.
Listen, we don't even have to go over the next one. It's embarrassing, really embarrassing. We probably shouldn't have to do this again for this person.
Scott receives – this is 6 days later, January 19th. Scott receives Stephon Diggs, George Kittle, pick number 10. Anthony receives Christian Kirk and TJ Hockenson. So both the assets that Anthony received in the Derrick Henry trade.
Did Scott do this twice to him? Yeah, he did. What's going on here?
Yeah. It's tough to say. I don't like him including both the assets from the Henry deal. I would have loved to have seen – I don't mind the players that Anthony's acquiring. I just would have loved to see him keeping all the picks in addition to that. So it's kind of like, okay, getting a little bit younger, getting a Christian Kirk, getting a TJ Hockenson, getting a Gabe Davis, and then some picks. But instead, gives it to Scott. Kirk and Hockenson, both young players that had good years. But Scott basically, you know, transitioned from Gabe Davis to Stephon
Diggs.
It's
not as bad as the other one, the first one, but it's still not my favorite.
Yep. So we'll see. Maybe those two guys really pull it together. Maybe Diggs and Kittle get older quicker than we think. But Scott does, I believe, still have the 10th pick. He does. So he's got his fingers in this draft, which is helpful. Someone that had previously traded away his picks. Another big one, actually one that I really liked, one that kind of came out of nowhere. Finally, Josh Allen moved teams. Daniel received Josh Allen, Travis's 2024 first-round pick, Travis's 2025 third-round pick. In return, Travis got Justin Herbert, DJ Moore, pick 11, pick number 20 in this year's draft. This is a fun trade, Ben.
Yeah, no, that was a That was a very interesting trade. Always interesting to see quarterbacks being traded, and then all the picks being involved and DJ Moore. I don't know. Tough for me to wrap my head around it, but I guess I lean Travis's side just a bit. But, like, Josh Allen's pretty fucking good, so I don't know.
Yeah, Travis gets – I mean, obviously with the four assets, and then two picks in the top 20 –
you know, it depends on what these guys do with the picks, you know. So just based value-wise, like, I lean stuff. But, again.
I think the biggest thing that shocked me with this one was just that Travis gave up his 2024 first. That was really the biggest thing for me, purely because he's been talking about his win window being that time forever. And in theory, like, obviously he's got plenty of moves to make, picks to make. Like, in theory, he was the one team you could look at and be like, okay, like, there's a decent chance he's the worst team next year because, like, pretty much everyone else – is going to be trying slash has a solid roster. You know, there's going to be six teams that miss the playoffs either way. But that also is kind of fun because, Travis still has a bunch of other picks next year, so that'll be fun. And not having your own first-round pick means you can't really tank, right? Like, you experienced that a couple of years ago when you did it. Like, now you're going to just try to ball out. And not that he was purposely tanking. Everyone did a great job this year of starting, you know, the proper players and all that. He still has three first-round picks next year, which will be interesting. But yeah, it kind of forces him into, you know, continuing to make moves to improve his team. He'll probably still keep some of his picks for next year, I would imagine, because he does still need kind of an infusion of talent. But was just very surprised that he was willing to give up his own first-round pick because I figured he'd be a pretty good candidate for the number one pick next year.
No, it makes sense.
Quick note on the 29th of January, you gave away Elijah Mitchell and Daniel's 2025 third. you received Bosco's 2024 second, Rob's 2026 third. Kind of a minor deal, but you did. Well, what kind of went behind moving on from Elijah Mitchell?
Thought process was, you know, I've got a bunch of running backs now. I'm trying to clear some space for this draft as well.
That's right.
And I saw that I would get some value out of him as well. You know, I drafted him at like 30, like in the third round somewhere, 30 somewhere. And I said, well, if I can get a second and another third, swap thirds, you know, which I think maybe the third that I got can be a little higher than the one I'm giving away. I said, why not? So, yeah, here we are.
Yeah. Biggest trade of the offseason also happened that day. Yep, this was in person. Rob and I watching the Chiefs-Bengals game. Rob received pick number 32 in this year's draft. I received Derek Carr, who was quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders, likely not to be for much longer. Yeah, honestly, we were both pretty drunk. Well, I can't speak for Rob, but I was pretty drunk at this stage in the night. Don't really remember exactly how it went down, but the reality is I've got Dak, I've got Stafford, and I've got Howell. So just not a lot of stability, especially coming off a year where Dak struggled. He has had some injuries in the past. I just wanted to kind of solidify my backup position as someone that doesn't have a pick in the draft. Certainly I could draft a quarterback this year, but I don't exactly have a pick high enough to do so. So we took a stab at it. We'll see if there's any more QB movement. Certainly if anyone's listening, I know, you know, don't laugh when you hear this, but if you do happen to want that 1 year of Matthew Stafford this next season, you know, recreating the magic with Cooper Kupp and Sean McVay, just let me know. Not expensive there, Ben. Bosco received a 2025 first and a 2024 third. The first was from Dan, the third was from you. William received pick 17, pick 23, and Anthony's 2024 third. Really interesting one here, Ben, because we talk about like the future picks inevitably have less value than the current ones. So a little bit weird to see a first being traded for the fifth pick in the second round and then a late second rounder. You know, William does have a strong history of drafting. When you're throwing away a future pick like that to be in the mix in this year's draft, I don't hate it. I understand kind of what he's coming from there.
Yeah.
And also like it from Bosco's side because he has a ton of picks and he's giving up a couple and securing a future one. Don't hate it. Kind of a meh trade. Last but not least, Ben, today's trade. Bosco gets Kirk Cousins and $10 of 2023 fab. Will gets Jaylen Warren and Tyquan Thornton. Do we think Anthony actually knows who those two players are or is it a bit? No. Okay. Jaylen Warren, backup running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Which nice honestly flashes. Makes me feel worse about myself, by the way.
Jaylen Warren, backup running back for the Steelers, actually showed some flashes as a rookie behind Najee Harris. Interestingly enough, Will does not have Najee Harris, so it's not a handcuff situation. Tyquan Thornton, rookie wide receiver for the Patriots last season, showed flashes in a couple games from what I remember, not a whole lot else. Maybe he got injured, I'm not sure. Bosco gets Kirk Cousins. Bosco and I were talking a little bit of Matt Stafford as well, but he wanted a veteran quarterback if we could put behind Lamar Jackson. He also does have Desmond Ridder for what it's worth. Interesting for William. We talked about it a little bit in the other group text. William now has a quarterback room of Deshaun Watson, Jordan Love, and Malik Willis. So for those keeping score at home, currently that's one starting quarterback with a history of sexual assault. And then two backup quarterbacks.
A.K.A. A young dog, as described by William.
Yeah. A young dog. I agree. He does have a young dog. It's really too bad that young dog team was so bad this season, despite all the talent there. But certainly rooting for things to turn around at Bilbo Swaggins. Him having a couple picks in the mix now will make the draft fun, inevitably. Any final thoughts, Ben? Hell of a podcast.
That's 90 minutes. I'm kind of zapped, to be honest with you. I feel good about it, but I'm zapped. I feel good.
Yeah.
I think we covered the bases, and if anyone gets through this, send me a message, and I won't Venmo you, but I'll just say congratulations. You're the best podcast listener ever.
That's right. Because the reality is sometimes I feel bad when they're this long, Ben, but then I think about how like the McAfee show every day is like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, cool. Well, some people, and you know, people will get through it. Covered a lot of content. Can't say that we expected to be on this long, Ben.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we did. Let's have a beautiful night.
Got to the third take. We did it. So
after the third take, the other two bits will probably be on there because we got to include some of the other stuff. So it'll be a fun listen. Thanks, boys. As always, we'll have some more off-season content periodically, yeah. But Super Bowl week, as we get close to the NFL draft, we'll probably do one. Go Chiefs.
Shout out Rico Gathers.
Chiefs Kingdom. Shout out Rico Gathers. Thank you, Ben. Save the day. Tight ends league. See ya.
Peace.